It has been almost 2 weeks since Donald Trump's inauguration on January 20th, and that was the day by which he had promised to hand over management of his businesses to his sons. So, has he? Marilyn Geewax, NPR senior business editor, joins us now. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Jeremy.
And I did notice that both Don Jr. and Eric, his sons, were at the announcement last night at the White House for Judge Gorsuch. But what has happened to the management of Donald Trump's businesses since his inauguration?
Well, he had promised that he was going to change the management when he took office on January 20th. That was a Friday. But when journalists looked into it, there was no evidence that that had happened. Over the weekend, people were calling attention to that. So then on Monday, we here at NPR were looking at public records to see if there was paperwork showing that. And actually, the documents did start to turn up on Monday afternoon, and they showed exactly that, that the business was moving to the management of his sons. But here's the big but. The ethics experts that we talked to say that is a pretty meaningless change because, as you note, the Trump family is very close. They're sort of same suit, different pockets. It's a family business that Trump continues to own. It has operations in about 20 countries. So there are always going to be these controversies that pop up because Mr. Trump has a role as president, but he also has this role as a business owner, and it comes into conflict a lot of times.
Well, one of the conflicts that's come up has to do with the new hotel that he built in the old post office building in Washington. What's happening there? Yeah.
Just a couple of days ago, the workers there joined a union, so there are going to be contract negotiations. So at the same time that the Trump sons are going to be wrangling with the union over a contract, Trump the father will have the ability to appoint the majority of members of the National Labor Relations Board, which, you know, plays a role in enforcing collective bargaining and making decisions about contracts. So critics say that if you end up in some kind of a contract dispute with the labor board, how can the hotel workers feel that they're getting a fair shake if they know that Trump the father determined the makeup of that board?
Meanwhile, the Red Cross, Marilyn, is dealing with a headache right now. It's holding a ball at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort this weekend and is expecting to get a lot of protesters. And the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute is also getting criticism connected to a Mar-a-Lago event later this month. What's happening there?
Well, this shows how these controversies spill over into another area, charities. This is blowing up right now that Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has gotten, you know, people, hundreds of medical students, doctors, all these health professionals are saying that they should not hold this fundraiser on February 18th at Mar-a-Lago. That's Trump's club in South Florida. But Dana-Farber doesn't want to cancel it because last year they raised $2.2 million there. And then they've put a lot of effort into putting this thing together. So here's examples of how Trump's continued ownership of his business is just throwing off these controversies that come up. And now it's this club ownership is injecting politics into something that should be a unifying cause, fighting cancer.
Well, I imagine that just to avoid all of the politics, a lot of people are going to decide to just have their event at the Breakers, which is the other big resort in Palm Beach.
Marilyn, sit on the beach.
That's right. Marilyn Geewax, NPR senior business editor. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.